The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Glorious day here in the studio. Hope it is so wherever you are. We welcome you back to another edition of the program, Bucket Strategy Investing. It's your source for the best in money advice every single day, and I mean every day on this show. Brain Trust standing by, ready to talk money, ready to talk strategy with you. I'm Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here with me from Lucia Capital Group. And we're going to get started with a discussion on these structured or buffered notes, whatever you want to call them. You've been hearing about these a little bit more. We've talked about them somewhat, and we've been getting some questions on them. You could be aware that there are certain investments that may act as stock or perhaps bond alternatives, or maybe not. These are products that are sort of structured to, I guess, lose less with the potential to get more on the upside, perhaps. I don't want to say too much because, I mean, they can do all kinds of different things. So we'll let Professor Plum talk about it. If you're willing, perhaps, to accept a bit more risk on the downside, there is some potential to have a better risk-adjusted return. That's on the upside. So we're going to tell you what these products are, how they may or may not work for you, where they may or may not fit in your portfolio, and you can decide. That's coming up with the professor. Phone lines all open right now. Give us a call, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Brain Trust is standing by. You can also email us via our website, wealthed.com, wealthed.com. That's your source for all the topics we talk about on this program. You just look for the Find Your Answer link there near the top of the page and send us an email. If you want to get in touch with the professor or anyone here at Lucia Capital Group, our number off the air, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Financial plan, should be tailored to suit. Tailored to suit. How about that? Your individual needs and goals. That's why you need to speak with a Brain Trust advisor. They'll devise a plan that can work for you. Hey, no two situations are alike. All right? You know that. Find out what the advisors at Lucia Capital Group can do for you. Once again, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. And we thank them, of course, for bringing us the hour of the program. On the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Took a whole bunch of calls yesterday, a whole bunch of different topics, and we're happy to talk about anything that's on your mind right now. 877-752-6637. We don't talk product a whole lot on this show, Professor.
No, mostly we talk strategy.
Strategy is big.
But the strategy has to be filled with something, and the thing that you fill the strategy with is product, whether it's, you know, stocks, ETFs, growth investments, annuities, CDs. Mm-hmm. Those are all financial products that are designed to fit a specific need within your overall investment strategy.
Yeah, you wind up with, most people know stocks. They hear about have stocks and bonds.
Mutual funds.
Certain funds, exchange-traded funds, as you said. You know, but it's I might have a little bit of cash, but I got some stocks and bonds, and that's pretty much it. And, you know, for some people, I suppose that's okay. But there are different things that you can add to your portfolio that perhaps could what?
Well, they could add to a certain area of your investment portfolio. But unfortunately, sold in the wrong area. For many years, since the late 90s, we've had index annuities where they pay interest based on an index, but the principal is guaranteed. But it's a far cry from guarantees to stock market. And unfortunately, there's very little in between that area. So for several years now, different companies have been offering structured notes. Structured notes have a very wide variety. They can be insured, or they can have some amount of risk depending upon what's going on, the underlying assets involved. So you're looking at where do these fit, what are going on, how do I do something? I mean, if I want something that has a little bit better rate of return than CDs or even bonds for that matter, but I'm not willing to take just the risk of the stock market, and unfortunately right now people are perceiving the bond market to be relatively risky as well with very little reward potential. I mean, if you're looking at the risk of the stock market, you understand, most people understand, that there is potential return reward available, but there's also potential risk up and down. And as people are seeming to think that there's more volatility lately, they're realizing that there is downside risk. Now, I think there's always been volatility in the market. Just forget it. and they only focus on the recent downturn that we're having. And they forgot about the downturn we had in 2011 and all the other ones. This is just another one. But they understand that there's loss potential. To get that better rate of return that the stock market offers, there's loss potential. And they're also looking at the bond market as saying, I'm getting a return of 2-3%, but I have risk involved in that. If interest rates were to change, I could actually lose more money than I'm making in this area. So when they're looking at trying to create portfolios that has a middle ground in it, you know, not the risk of the market, but not the security and the lack of return that a CD or something of that ilk may offer. Where do you go? It used to be that we would go to the bond market when interest rates were a little higher and we could actually earn something from it. But that's just not the case anymore. So where do you go for that midterm investment? Not everything is money I'm going to spend in the next 2 years, or that I have 20 years to wait, 15 years to wait. Some of it I want to put away for 8 years, 7 years, 6 years. And I want to get something better than a 1-2% rate of return, or at least I hope to get something better than a 1-2% rate of return. And over that 6-7 year period of time, 5 year period of time, I'm willing to take a little bit of risk or some measured amount of risk. So where do we go for that? Structured notes have been filling the bill right there. Now you can buy these on an individual basis or you can buy them as part of a group. The more common ones now are where you pool your money with other people and buy them as a very large group because they have better purchasing power. And so you can go into it. But what is a structured note? A structured note is a note. It pays interest. And so you're going to receive some form of interest, hopefully, on whatever your initial investment is. How the interest, it's similar in some ways to an index annuity. The return that you're going to receive, the interest payment that you're going to receive, is based on the movement of some underlying investment, whether it's an index, whether it's a basket of stocks, whether it's a bonds and the movement of interest rates. There's something underneath that has volatility to it that will dictate how much interest that you actually can earn. Now, some, as I mentioned before, some of them do have guarantees of principal. But anytime you have a guarantee of principal, and even FDIC insurance on some notes, obviously the more guaranteed it is, the less upside potential. With no downside potential, there's less upside potential. That's just one of those physics things of financial physics.
Right.
It's a fact of life.
Exactly. If you don't want any upside, any cap on the upside, then you're not going to get any cap on the downside. You just throw all your money in the stock market and hope for the best.
And if you want guarantees on the principal, you're not going to get total upside potential. The stock market can do.
Despite what you might have heard, Professor Plum, nobody's going to say that, hey, if the stock market does 35% this year, you get all 35%. If it goes down 35%, you're protected. You're not going to lose anything.
Right. So just understand that when we're looking at these, the more risk that you're willing to accept, the more upside potential you will have. The less downside risk you're willing to accept, the less upside risk you're going to upside potential you're going to have. Fixed annuities have a stated interest rate. Index annuities have a guarantee of principal. They have a potentially better interest rate, but they still have the guarantee of principal. But the problem with index annuities right now are the caps, maybe 4.5%, 5%, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but a lot of people may want something more, and over a 5-6 year period of time, may be willing to accept a little bit of risk, at least on an annual basis.
Yeah, and when you talk about, when you say something like 4% is in some kind of time, type of indexed annuity. People hear 4% today and they think, wow, I mean, that's much better than, you know, a 10-year where I'm going to get 1.7, 1.8, somewhere around 2.
Right. And so, but what a fixed annuity doesn't guarantee is that you get that 4.5-5% every year.
Exactly.
You know, some years, like the last 12 months, if you were had a 12, they go on contract. Your contract anniversary was May 1st. Most likely, you're getting zero interest. You can get up to the cap, but you can also get zero. You can't lose anything on an index annuity, but you can't. There are times where you won't make anything. So in most of the cases, you're going to be up 3 or 4 out of 5 years, 4 out of 6 or something of that nature. So you're going to get 4 or 5%, 4 out of the 6 years you're in it, 5 out of the 7 years you're in it. So you're going to average a little less than that, potentially, average a little less than that stated, that cap rate. But what if you don't want a 3-5% potential rate of return? What if you want to take a little bit of risk to get something else?
Something greater than
something
that.
Something hopefully better. Well, the only other option until structured notes came along was take the market, or go to a balanced portfolio, or something that has no outside barriers, nothing that you get the market. Whatever does up, down, you get it all. and structured notes, the ones that we look at for using for midterm accounts, have what are known as buffers on the downside. So there is some protection, not unlimited, but some protection on the downside if the index or the basket that you're looking at goes down in value. In reality, they usually start at 10%. Some are due at 15, 25. Many do 10, 20, 30. First 10% of loss on the index, you don't participate. But if it goes down more than the buffer, you start participating.
Yeah, we'll give you some examples of how these things work when we come back. It's again, it's just a way to perhaps add a little bit of diversification, perhaps a little less risk. I don't want to step.
A little
on
more than
lines
a fixed
here.
Income.
Exactly. So it's about risk management. So we'll give you some examples of how this works when we come back. 877 Planner. You have questions on this or anything else? Lines are open. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum. It's Buckets. Welcome back to the program. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. 877 Planner, our number. PLAER. If you got a question, you call now. Talk to you about it. We'll answer that question. Whether it has to do with anything that we've talked about today or not, that's fine. We are talking a little bit about these structured notes. In fact, if you want to know more about this kind of a thing, these likely will come up in one of the discussions and in one of the upcoming workshops. The next one happens to be this Saturday in Seattle, Washington, Saturday the 27th. You go to wealthed.com, sign up there. It's all free. You get to meet Professor Plum in person, listen to them talk all about retirement income strategies, ways that you might be able to keep from money, running out of money before you run out of time. This Saturday in Seattle, February 27th. A couple more after that, at least. Seattle is this Saturday. Phoenix is Saturday, March 12th. And then Portland, Oregon, that'll be on the March the 19th. So these are all Saturdays. There will be more after that. Check local listings. And by that, I mean wealthed.com. Find out where they're going to be. You can sign up for any or all of them. I said they're free. What more could you want? You meet the Brain Trust, get your money questions answered. Wealthed.com. Our phone lines are open. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. All right, let's give an example, Professor Plum. Talking about before the break with regard to these buffer notes, structured notes, whatever you want to call them. You said there's a buffer. Let's explain what you mean by that.
Well, there's the first, whatever the equal to the buffer is, you don't experience the downside. So in a year like we're just finishing up, the trailing 12 months where the market may be down 12% or 13%, depending on the day, we were also back up to the down 9% a couple days ago. If the market over the measuring period, be 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 2 years, there's different what they call strategies inside the products. You can buy different types of structured products, but let's just go with the basic one, a 1 year time horizon with a 10% buffer. Now, they're a series of 1 years. They get reset every year, but typically you're in these for 5 years or 6 years. So let's just take a look at the first year has a 10% buffer. And so if the market during that measuring period from contract to contract anniversary is down 10% or less, you don't earn anything for the year, but you don't lose anything. If the market is positive for that measure, you earn the positive rate of return up to a cap. Now, that's similar to an index annuity, but the caps are higher than an index annuity, where the caps may be 4.5%, 5% in an index annuity, they may be 8 to 9 in a structured product. So you would be able to get higher upside. The reason you can get a higher upside is because on the downside, where an index annuity is guaranteed no matter what happens, if the measuring period creates a loss of more than the buffer, in my example, the buffer was 10%. If it goes down 12% on your measuring period, you lose 2, because you're only protected on the first 10% of the downside for that measuring period. So if it goes down more than the buffer, you have potential for principal loss. Now, it doesn't matter what happens during the year, and there's no dividends involved in this because they're only looking at the index in this particular case, in most cases. So you've got that downside protection at least a little bit. So if the market went down 12, you go down 2. And then the next year, hopefully, you will reset at that lower index level, so that the next year, which could go down again, but could has more likeliness or more potential to go up, you can go up and hopefully recover quicker than you would otherwise recover.
Yeah, you've said this before, and it bears repeating here, that if you start off with 100 and you're, you know, you lose 25%, it takes 33% return to get back to just to use a particular number. Losing less in this particular case can work well to your advantage, because while everybody else, let's say the market did go down 12-13%, call it 12, and you only lost 2, while everybody else has to make up something a lot greater than 12% to get back to zero.
So let's look at it this way. If you are in a product that has a 10% buffer, and over your measuring period, and it's got an 8% cap, I'm just making these up, the caps vary, so I'm just, you know, making this number up. If it's 8%, if the market 12%, your investment, let's say you put $100,000 into a market investment, the index, the similar thing, you'd be, and you were down 15%, you'd be down to, you know, $85,000. Whereas with the market type of a structure note, you'd only be down to $95,000.
So you lost, everybody else lost 15, you lost 5 because of the buffer.
Right. And so then the next year, the market, let's say the market rebounds, and now you're back over 100. To get your contract, or not your contract, your investment, your market investment that where you lost 15%, if you could get a return the next year, you get it over the 8%, you get capped out. The market would have to come back 21% to get you the same rate of return as that 8% cap, because you're starting from a much higher number. Instead of starting from 85, you're starting from
95.
From 95. And so the upside potential have to be as good to create a reasonable rate of return. So you lost 15, you gained, you're at the same place as one of these 10% buffered notes with an 8% cap. So you do have to understand the different caps and the different buffers and how you're going to use them in your portfolio. Now, one of the more common ways to purchase these now, to get that purchasing power where you're in with a large group and so you have that economies of scale, are in the form of an annuity. And so many of these come in the form of an annuity. Now, annuities do have surrender charges. Now, and so I'll tell you about two things that annuities do and do not have. The problem that most people have with annuities are the fees, the gosh-awful fees. If all you're using are the structured notes products, there are no fees. You're saying, wait a minute, insurance companies don't do this for free. You're right, they don't do it for free. But they're building their profit into the difference in interest and what they're earning underneath on the they're using to buy and support the interest. So they're making their money. Don't worry about the insurance company. There's no fees on the insurance company. The other thing are surrender charges. So you have to know the surrender period. Many of these are in the 5 to 7, 8 year time horizons where each, you know, you stay in the annuity for 5, 6, 7 years. So you're redoing your annual, you know, buffer every year. And then, you know, then you can get out without a surrender charge. Of course, you still need to be 59 and a half. Otherwise, there's
a 10%
penalty. Because it's an annuity.
Of course.
Or have it inside of an IRA so that the IRA rules rule it, and then you can move it within the IRA all you want. But you want to look at these and say, okay, how much risk do I want to protect? How much risk am I willing to take, one direction or the other? Do I use a 10% buffer, a 20%, 30% buffer? Obviously, the more the downside protection, the less the upside potential. But for somebody who is willing to take a little bit of risk. Now, what happens after that first year when the market goes down? You look at your cap rates and say, which one of these gives me the best upside potential? You can move every measuring period to one of the other strategies. You know, I was looking at one of these products that had 8 or 10 different potential baskets of investments. The Dow, an energy sector, an interest rate movement. There's all these different plays that you could potentially take, and subject to price. I was looking at one and I was thinking, wow, right now I'd love to be in an energy sector because I think that there may be some, but the cap rate on that energy sector stunk, so I didn't like using it. And so you can look at them and
You can make choices. It's not really, if somebody said, well, is this, what are you, timing the market? Do you, you know, make sector plays here? Not necessarily.
And who knows? I mean, and hey, oil could keep going down or stay right where it is for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, we have no idea. So that's what these are. These are sort of structured products, buffered products, whatever you want to call them. They could potentially help you out. If you have questions on this, you can give us a call, 877-PLANNER. We'll tell you if it apps right for you. 877-752-6637. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, you can give us a call with your money question. We got lines open right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-66. Any money question that you have, strategy, the product, something you've been offered, something you've got, you're not sure about, Social Security, we talk about that, anything, taxes, tax management, that's another topic we're going to have to revisit. We didn't necessarily get to finish that at all yesterday. So 877-PLANNER, if you have a question on that or anything else, 877-752-6637. Okay, let's sort of wrap this up if we can. We've been talking about these structured notes or these buffered products, I want to call them, Professor Plum. They do provide protection on the downside, some. They give you some buffer on the downside so that if the market goes down a certain amount and you're protected on that, you don't gain anything, but you don't lose anything.
You know, yes, and so, but there is chance if it goes down further than the buffer that you could lose some money. But on the upside, you have a better upside potential than other things that have guarantees or near guarantees. And so, where do they fit? What are they designed to do? They are not a true bond replacement because, in many cases, for many people, bonds create an ongoing interest, and that's not what these are designed to do. They're designed more as a 5-6 deferred hold rather than an income generator. They are not a stock market replacement generally, unless you're just a very, very conservative, because they're not long-term. You don't have the time to the market. And when you have a super long enough time for the market, the downside volatility is not as great over time as it is over shorter periods of time. They are more in the CD bond reinvestment category that you're trying to replace an intermediate term investment where you have some time horizon. 5, 6, 7 years. You want to get something better than a CD rate of return. You're willing to take maybe a little bit of downside potential to try to get better than the CDs, the short duration funds, things of that nature, even floating rates. You're trying to get better than that 3 or 4% that the more common intermediate term investments do. So that's where they fit. They don't fit in bucket number one necessarily with the money we're going to spend next week, next year. As I mentioned, there are surrender charges on the annuity contract itself, so you can't get 100% of the money without some type of a substantial penalty for early withdrawal. What do you want to call it? Contingent deferred sales charge. All these different terms for, hey, you're not getting 100% of your money. That's what they're all about. So you do have to have the appropriate time horizon, and it's going to have different time horizons based on the different products that you use. So you do have a certain time horizon. It doesn't have to be a long time horizon. You don't necessarily need to take, you don't want to take income from it year 1, 2, 3, 4. So, but it does fit in a bucket strategy. It's a very nice bucket number two. What is a bucket number two? It's money I don't need to spend for 6, 7, 8 years. It's money I can put aside and not look at for some period of time. It's money I want to get a better rate of return than a bond portfolio can provide right now, a potential better rate of return than what a bond portfolio can provide right now. And I'm willing to take a little bit of downside risk on a year-to-year basis. So that's where it fits in my world and in the strategies that we potentially create for clients and things. We just want to make sure that it's not for bucket number one. It's not generally for bucket number three, the long-term money. It fits nicely in bucket number two.
Yeah, a portion of it, bucket two, obviously.
You don't do all of it necessarily.
You don't want to do the whole thing in bucket two. But bucket two, I think, is one of the biggest challenges right now. You can't just rely on some of the old tried and true, I shouldn't say that, some of the old ways of mixing safety with a little bit of risk because of the interest rate environment that we're in right now.
Right, a balanced portfolio is a traditional bucket number two. It has a little more risk, a little more upside potential. An index annuity is a traditional bucket number two. It has a little less risk and a little less upside potential. For some people, the old strategic bond portfolios that have a little bit of all the different types of bonds are part of a potential bucket number two as well. but there's risk in there, and the return potential just isn't all that great with a bond portfolio in today's world. So we're trying, you know, trying to find something that works, that has a potential better chance of returning, a better rate of return with less risk than what we used to use, what used to work, which doesn't work as well now.
Yeah, it's really more about risk management, going out a little bit farther out on the tree limb without, you know, getting the high bounces that you're going to get way far out on the tree limb, without being so close to the tree that you're not getting any bounce at all.
Yeah, you don't want to be sitting out on the tree limb and you're on the outside of the limb.
No, that's part of the problem. So if you're looking for something that's got a little bit of downside protection with you know, potential perhaps on the upside, what we're talking about, structured products. What is it? What's the actual title? It's a buffered product?
Structured capital.
Structured capital. Okay. If you have any questions on this, you can talk to Professor Plum. Give us a call here at 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-E-R. We do have some lines open right now. If you've got money questions on anything at all, does not have to be on this, certainly. But if you'd like some more information on that, you can call us here. 877-752-6637. Emails, you go to wealthed.com. WealthEd.com. Want to get to a couple of these here before the top of the hour. Frank in Las Vegas, Nevada, shifting gears. I still work part-time at the age of 74. A fellow worker, age 71, stated that he called our main office and was advised that as long as you contribute to your 401k, you do not have to take the mandatory distribution, I think he means, as required at age 70 and a half. Is this true? You have a great show, and I listen every chance I get.
Well, Frank, it is partially. If you are not an owner of the company, and which when I say not an owner, you don't own 5% or more of the company that you work for, and you have a retirement plan with that company, you are an active employee, whether you're active part-time or active full-time, as long as you're ongoing working, as long as you're an employee of that company, you do not have required minimum distribution from that company's retirement plan. You don't even have to be participating as far as contributing to it. You just have to be an employee of the firm. And so, you know, you said as long as you're contributing. That's not even a requirement. You just have to be an employee of the firm that has the retirement plan. And if that's the case and you don't own 5% or more of the company, you do not have a required minimum distribution from that plan. Now, if you have IRAs or 401k or the retirement plans from other employers that you just left there, you still have required minimum distributions from all those other plans. You just don't have a required minimum distribution from your current employer's retirement plan. So it's very nice. They do let you postpone the required minimum distribution. You are working, so that they now, say if you're not retired, you don't have to take it from that plan.
You have to be contributing to the 401k?
No, you don't.
Because that was part of the question, which they had said, I guess, as long as you contribute to your 401k, you don't have to take the mandatory distribution. So half of that is
right, and that's why I say you don't have to be contributing. Obviously, in many cases, it does make sense to contribute. It also makes sense, especially if you have a Roth option. Maybe if you're not in a high tax bracket, do the Roth contribution instead of the traditional 401k contribution. You just have to be an active employee of the company. Now, the day you terminate employment, whether it's at age 70 and a half, whether it's at age 80, 90 years of age, now you're no longer an active employee. Now you have a required minimum distribution for that year. But that's the very first year. And they're going to treat it as the very first year, which means that very first year's RMD can actually be postponed until the first quarter of the following year.
Yeah, so
just from that plan, though. Just that plan. None of your other IRAs or other 401ks or other employer plans qualify for this. Only that company.
Yes, and if you happen to work for a couple of different companies, then it's true for the 401ks in each of those companies.
And so if you're 69, 68 years old and you think you're going to work for another 5-6 years, another couple of years, and you don't want to deal with the required minimum distribution,
can you roll them in?
And you have IRAs and other plans, roll them all into your current employer's plan.
If the employer allows it.
Obviously.
Well, because you can do that. It actually can make a very good strategy, depending on whether or not you like the options inside your
401k. Obviously, there's lots of other things. Are you in investments in your IRA that you can't get out of? Do you like the investments in your IRA so much better than the investments you have in the 401k that you you're willing to do the required minimum distribution, even though you're working from your IRAs. And so there's,
well, no,
there's factors to consider.
But actually, it could be an excellent strategy if you want to, you work with your advisor and you find out, well, this required minimum distribution is going to, you know, subject my Social Security to taxation. I'd really like to do something to minimize it. Mm. If your employer allows you to do it, is rolling it from the IRAs or other 401ks into your current employer's 401k, assuming the employer allows it, is it a fairly easy process to do?
Well, it's paperwork. So,
well, but
some
other
people,
than that, yeah. I mean, there's nothing to report. It's not like you're taking income. And
the
then
IRA will issue a 1099. Typically, the IRA will issue a 1099 that says this was a transfer and so it's not taxable. Sometimes they don't even issue a 1099 if they know for a fact that it's going to a 401k or other retirement plan. And if you do get a 1099, you just account for it.
Yeah, you tell
no
them
big
this,
deal.
This went from my 401k into my, I'm sorry, into IRA, my IRA,
into 401k.
From my from one 401k to another 401k.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a strategy that could work, but you still have to be working still, and
you
it
have
can
to be
only
an
be
active employee.
Exactly. So if you're thinking about doing that, check with your advisor because, as Plum just said, I mean, there may be reasons why you don't want to do this. Specifically, you don't like necessarily the options within your 401k. You don't want to give them up in your IRA. Okay, we got more coming up. A couple more emails. Your phone calls. Invited. Encouraged. Lines open. 877-PLANNER. PLANNER. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing continues. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, room on the phones, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Give us a call with your money questions. We'll talk to you about them. We'll answer them for you right here on the program. Coming up next hour, if you get the next hour, and most cities across the country do, we're going to be talking a little bit about taxes and some of the things that you need to look out for, both scams and otherwise. I read somewhere, Professor, that I don't know if it was the phone scam or the identity theft portion of it is up or was up last year, something like 400% incidences of these.
Tax frauds, yes.
Yeah, just tax fraud scams.
That's what I read as well.
Yeah, and if you
That's a big increase.
It's a really big increase, especially around this time of year. You're going to probably start getting some of these phone calls. Some of these
emails
especially, we've all seen them. We'll talk more about them next time. But not just scams from people in some foreign country that are calling and, you know, trying to get you to give them their money, many times successful, but it can also be among certain preparers.
Right, they're trying to get your information. And so there's two sides to look out for. People that are trying to scam your information.
Yep.
And people that are trying to steal your money. I mean, flat out steal it.
Yeah. So anyway, you got to keep a tight lid over all this stuff. We'll tell you what to look out for next hour. Some things that you need to be aware of. That's coming up next hour. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. One last thing here that I didn't mention, but there was an undercurrent of this in our discussion on buffered notes, structured capital, whatever it is. And that has to do, Professor Plum, with risk management.
Of course.
You know, risk management, first of all, what do we mean when we say risk management? I think on the surface it's obvious. You want to try to control your risks. Talking about here,
you're going to try to control your returns. The risks are out there, and so we're just trying to determine how much variability from the expected return we're willing to take over a specific period of time. We can't control the market, so we can't manage the market, so we can't really manage the risk of the market, but we can manage the risk within when we need the money, when we need. And so when we're everything we do in financial planning has an eye towards risk management, whether it's survivor planning, making sure that with life insurance, disability, you know, covering all the facts that could derail your ability to save, your ability to provide an income. Once we get to retirement, we're trying to make sure we don't derail our chance of having an income through our retirement that we need. And so risk is always present when we're doing financial planning. And it's always something that we're looking to try to avoid within certain parameters. Short term, we're trying to avoid the risk of losing money. Fortunately, we're also avoiding the chance of making very much money. Long term, we're trying to avoid losing out to inflation, which means we want to create a better return from inflation, but we're willing to accept some downside risk on a short-term basis to be able to try to receive that better than inflation type of rate of return out of the longer portion of our portfolio. So there's different risks. There's different ways to get potentially around those risks. And so we're looking at what we have to do to make it work in your situation, my situation, whoever's situation we're doing the strategy for.
Yeah, and of course, risk management tends to change over time. The risk management that you employ when you're 25 or 30 is probably a lot less than what you might employ when you're 55 or 60.
Well, the risk of losing money when you're 25. So you've got a Roth with $5,000 in it. If you lose half of it, not that big of a loss to you, you know, considering what it's for.
Exactly.
30, 40, 50 years later. If you've got $1 million at 65 and you lose half of it, that's a big risk. And you want to, so you have different games.
Yeah. 877 Planner, PLANNER. I want to get one more call in before the top of the hour. So let's move along down to Jake in Alameda, California. Hi, Jake. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is going to be brief. I'm listening off the air. And I was just wondering, where should I take my Roth IRA? And if I could out, do I have to be part of my income? I'm listening off the air. Thank you.
So okay. When should you start taking money out of your IRA?
And is it part of his income is what he was asking.
Well, it depends on what you'd classify as income. If you're starting to take a distribution from a Roth IRA, it's part of my cash flow. It's part of what I'm probably going to spend. The only reason I want to take money out of the Roth is to spend it. So it's part of my cash flow and the income that I'm using to make my bills and things, but it's not part of my income when I look at my income tax return. Now, assuming we are 59 and a half and we've had a Roth IRA for at least 5 years, the income or the distribution from a Roth IRA is considered a qualified distribution, and that means no tax, nothing, zero, nada. It doesn't show up anywhere on the tax return, and that's a good thing, a very good thing. It doesn't affect the tax on Social Security. It doesn't increase my AGI and then come off later, so it doesn't have an issue with the Medicare tax, the extra means testing of Medicare. It doesn't affect how much of my medical expenses are deductible. It doesn't have any effect on my tax return. And that, as I mentioned, is a really, really good thing. So that's why. Now, when would you want to take a distribution from a Roth IRA? Well, it has a lot to do with you and your situation. Maybe between my Social Security, my pensions, or my IRA distributions, I'm getting close to either paying taxes on my Social Security, or I'm getting close to going into the next tax bracket, or hitting up one of the other little landmines that the tax code gives us. And I don't want to jump up in the tax bracket. I don't want to have to pay more for my Medicare. Taking distributions from the Roth IRA can give me the income I want without bumping me in the tax bracket. So I'm going to look at it from a tax standpoint. Should I be what we call blending my income sources? Roth IRA money, traditional IRA money, pension, distributions of principal maybe from my personal investments, and also some Social Security. But for most retirees across the U.S., looking at it from an impact of Social Security, because Social Security taxation is ramped up the further you go up on the modified adjusted gross income, and it may make sense to keep my income down a little bit, if assuming I'm not postponing a bigger problem later on by not taking money out of my IRA.
Sure.
But that's where I would look to take money out of the Roth. I would look in the most tax-efficient manner. For a lot of people, the Roth isn't really for them. It's for their survivor, if they're married, or for their heirs. And they're going to spend their own bracket as much as possible from their IRAs so that their heirs, whether it's a surviving spouse or successive generation, receive a better inheritance. If I can use this tax bracket that I'm in today to at an advantage, I'm going to use that. I might use it instead. And that's why when people ask, what's the best investment for a Roth IRA? Well, that depends too on what you're trying to accomplish. Is it a small piece of the portfolio? Is it a large piece of the portfolio? Do you need the income or do you want to pass it on to the heirs? There are different ways to look at it.
We'll talk more about that next hour as well. Great question. Thank you, Jake. If you need the Brain Trust for Professor Plum off the air, you can reach them at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Another hour is just ahead. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital. Also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does apply a certain level of skill or training.